Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 102, stanzas 1 through 5. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1 through 5 of Psalter 102. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning with verse 50 to the end. Luke 22, beginning with verse 50 to the end. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, and to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 22, beginning with verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am." And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. David Arnold Dusin and also Mr. and Mrs. Mitchell Busicum, who have received well-born children in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Holy, almighty, eternal, all-knowing God, thou who lookest on our hearts and seeth not as men, but who knoweth the inmost recesses, all of the hiding places wherein we seek to hide our sin, and wherein we seek to uphold ourselves in our own righteousnesses, which are in thy sight as filthy rags, we are come together in thy holy house. What a wonder that thou still spares us, that thou still looketh upon us, and that thou still bearest with us, seeing all that lies within us and what comes forth from day to day. O Lord, could it please thee to forgive all our sins and to wash us and to cleanse us. In the precious blood shed by thy dear Son upon that cursed tree, all we do commemorate it in the weeks that are upon us. We do attempt to remember it. We do attempt to speak of it. Lord, oh, may we need it also. May there be a heartfelt knowledge by the working of thy Holy Spirit of sin and the awfulness thereof, that we may smite upon our breast, that we may not dare to lift up our eyes unto heaven, but that we may be given truly to cry out with him who did feel the awfulness and the evil of his sin. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O look upon each one of us. Lord, what shall it profit us when in these weeks thy name is proclaimed and thy death is spoken of, when we have no need in our hearts, oh, that it may show to us what we need, that the preaching of thy word may be sanctified, may be blessed, to the opening of our poor blind eyes, that we may not be permitted in thy just judgment, in thy righteousness, to go on that state in which we were born. How awful, awful shall be that great eternity, and then we shall cry out with gnashing of teeth in that place where the worm does never die. Oh, instruct us, Lord. It is thy holy day. It is a day when we come together to hear thy word. It is a day when we attempt to use thy means of grace. It is thy own institution. Oh, could it please thee in this day, in this morning, to sanctify that word. Oh, send it, Lord, as an arrow into the hearts of each and every one of us. We need it for the first time, and we need it over again. We need it by renewal. Lord, thou art the Alpha, and thou art the Omega, and thou art the first, and thou art the last. Thou art the beginning, and thou art the ending. And all the glory that shall one day go to thee, we will try to rob it of thee because of our wretchedness. And thou wilt not permit it, for thou art jealous for the sake of thy holy name. O Lord, could it please thee to glorify that name in this day, in our midst, to the salvation of sinners, that for the first time, that thy name may draw this one or that one, but it had no drawing before, that for the first time, one who cannot see any way to return to thy blessed favor and communion, that it may be opened unto them, that they may be given to see in all their impossibility that thou art the way, the truth, and the life. O Lord, then thy name will be honored and glorified in the heart of such a sinner. O, then there shall also come a day when they shall open their mouth and they shall say, come and hear all ye that fear God
and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Lord, may such a word be heard in the midst of us as a congregation, in the days in which we live, amongst the children, amongst the youth, amongst the fathers and the mothers, amongst all, each and every one. Lord, leave not one of us behind. Thou hast given new life in the midst of the congregation. Thou hast given that children may be born into this world. Oh, that thou may give also new life in a spiritual way. Lord, remember those children. Give that they may be born to be born again. Remember those mothers. Strengthen them in the need of their bodies. Remember those parents. Make them faithful in the bringing up of their children. Oh, remember us all together, that a Spirit of the Lord may go forth to work that new birth. Oh, that thou may bring them forth unto that new life, wherein they may begin to hunger and to thirst and to cry. Lord, wilt thou undeceive all those that may deceive themselves, because our hearts are so wicked, deceitfully wicked. And then there are many. The moment that they think to be born, then they will begin to speak. Lord, it is so unnatural. It is so against thy holy word. But Lord, may thou work that true work. Then they are born and they begin to cry to thee. Oh, then they are born and they begin to hunger and to thirst after thee. Then they do not know their right hand from their left hand. Lord, then they become teachable. Then thy spirit that has place to teach and to work. Oh, may thou look upon such ones. May they be in the midst of us. Oh, may there be those who do not know it anymore. May there be those who yearn to be taught upon thy Sabbath day. May there be those who open thy word with a cry in their heart and all their ignorance, and in all their vanity, and in all their sin, oh, Lord, bless it. Lord, bless one word unto my poor soul as I am traveling to meet thee, and I cannot meet thee. Oh, Lord, that that work may be known, that that work may be felt, may be experienced in the midst of us as a congregation. And wilt thou take away all our false foundations, and wherein we seek to build, that we may have nothing, and that we may be nothing, and that there may be a place for thy dear Son, a precious place. Oh, may he become needful to each and every one, him whom thou hast sent into this world, to suffer and to die. Oh, then he did dismiss his disciples when he was taken by those who hated him. Then let these go their way. Lord, he has delivered every one of his church from coming into the judgment, from coming into condemnation, and they are forever free, because he has given himself in their place. Oh, give them yet eyes to see it. Do lead them further in the steps of grace. Remember all those that are sick in their own places in this day. May thou give health and strength again. And may thou uphold in all these ways and give instruction therein, that we may learn also from the ways of thy providence, that thy callings may not go unheeded by us and by our dear children. Lord, wilt thou be with thy sent servants over the length and over the breadth of the whole world. Thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest what they stand in need of. And thou art able to give them richly of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, thy servant did ask for a double portion of that Spirit that is so necessary for each and every one of thy servants. Oh, when they go forth from Sabbath to Sabbath, and when they of themselves have nothing, and when they of themselves are so empty and so poor, and so vile and so wretched, so worldly and so carnal, Lord, and they need to be given everything from above. And thou hast promised it. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lord, that it may be experienced also in the midst of thy churches, over the length and the breadth of the world, and in the heart and in the life of thy true servants. Send more into thy vineyard. Lord, wilt thou awaken? Oh, wilt thou arise? And wilt thou show thyself forth in the midst of us as a denomination in the months that are to come? Lord, we beseech thee on behalf of all those vacant congregations, oh, that thou mayest send forth more laborers into thy vineyard, and that men may truly be wrought upon, and that are not able to stay away anymore, that thou may do it, Lord, that it may not be the working of a man, but that it may be the working of thy Holy Spirit, and that so we may be so gladdened by thy deeds. Oh, that thou would show forth thy wonders and remember us in mercy as a denomination who have departed so far away from thee and from away from that life of our forefathers. Oh, turn us again. Help us. Look upon each and every one of those in need. Widows, widowers, and orphans, and those that have needs and cares, that are not able to be shared with others. Oh, give help from on high. Give a place to beseech thee, and give to experience that thou art yet alive, and that thou art governor over all the land of Egypt. Lord, be with us in this day. Strengthen us for our labors, and wilt thou supply for our need. Oh, that thou may come, Lord, and give us to do all things decently and in order. But wilt thou come, oh, wilt thou show thyself forth, and wilt thou be in our midst. We do not deserve it. But, Lord, take reasons out of thyself and come with thy Spirit. Go from heart to heart and touch our hearts together. And may it be evident that thou still livest and that thou still workest. We beseech thee in the name of thy dear and thy only begotten Son. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. And thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. The last collection today is for our school. Stanzas 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 164. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Luke chapter 22, and thereof the 62nd verse. Luke 22, verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. So far the words of our text. Peter weeps bitter tears. First, the cause of these tears. Second, the means of these tears. And third, the mover of these tears. Peter weeps bitter tears. First, the cause. Second, the means. Third, the mover of these tears. Our text congregation speaks about weeping. And how much weeping is there not in this world? Of the rich and of the poor, of the high, of the low, of the bond, of the free. This world that is a veil of tears. Tears because of sorrow over the loss of loved ones, a father, a mother. Tears because of the burdens with children. Tears because of difficulties in marriages. The world that is a veil of tears. How different that was in paradise. Because at that time there were no tears. At that time, there was only a rejoicing at that time. And there was only a joy in the Lord. Do you ever weep? What makes you weep? Our first point, that is the cause of these tears. What is the cause of your tears? Boys and girls, we see here a man that is weeping. Is it only infants? Is it only the little babies? Is it only little children that cry? No, here we see a man. He is a grown man. And he is crying. He is weeping. And we read that he is weeping bitterly. That means he is not weeping just a little bit. No, but he is weeping very, very hard. Why? What is the matter with this man? Did he lose his mother? Must he be separated from his father or his wife? Or maybe he has lost a child. Is he sick? No, that is not why he is weeping. Why is this man weeping? This man is weeping because he has sinned. Congregation, did you ever weep because you have sinned? Was there ever one tear that was shed out of your two eyes because of sin? This man wept bitterly because of his sin, more bitterly than he has ever wept about any physical cause in his life. There was never anything that has caused him so much grief in his heart as that which he has just done. Do you believe that, young people, that it can be that the things that we do, that we choose to do ourselves in our life, they can be the greatest cause of our weeping? That is why your father or your mother if you may still have them. That is why that they are warning you so earnestly. Who is this man? And why is he weeping? This man, we read, is Peter. Thus, he is not a man just of this world. This man is Peter, that is, a man who has been converted by God. Must those people also weep sometimes? Must they weep even over their sin, that they have sinned after that they have received that grace of God? Here we see an example. Why? What is the cause that Peter is weeping? He is weeping because of the place where he has sat. He is lamenting that he has ever gone in to sit in that place. Did you ever do that? Did you ever weep because of the place that you have gone and the place that you have sat? And the people among you have sat. What do we read? That he sat down among them. He sat down among whom? He sat down among the servants of the high priest. And thus he is weeping about that company that he has sat down among. He is weeping that he ever joined that company, because that company has become to him such a great temptation. He thought he could withstand that temptation. That is why he went to sit down among them. But that temptation has become too great for him. We can read that more in the Bible. We read about Abraham and Isaac. When they come into a certain company of people, that it became too great for them, that they had to try to deliver themselves out of what they thought was their predicament. She is my sister. When King Jehoshaphat joined himself unto that wicked King Ahab, when he went in among that company, then he found that he had to cry out unto the Lord. Why did Peter ever go there? Why did Peter ever sit there? Why did he sit down among the servants of the high priest? Because Peter wanted to hide among them. Because Peter wanted everyone to think that he was just one of them. Because Peter did not want anyone to know who he really was. He did not want anyone to know that he was one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he wanted everyone to think that he was just the same, just one of these servants of that high priest. Did we ever do the same? To try to camouflage ourselves among the world? Because, young people, we come into such and such a place, and we know that no one in this place has any respect for God or for His Word. And therefore we try to hide who we are. We don't want anyone to know it. Why not? Because we are so afraid. Peter sat down among them. And if that is so in our life, that we sit down among them, then we can be sure we are in a place of great temptation, over which we soon may weep. As Peter is weeping over that place that he sat, Peter is weeping over that company that he placed himself among. Peter is weeping over the words which he spoke. Did you ever have to weep over the words which you spoke? Did you ever weep, boys and girls, over the words you spoke to your mother or to your father? Or about your mother or your father? Did you ever weep, husbands and wives, over the words that you have spoken of or about or unto one another? We read here that when Peter thought thereon, that he wept. Then he had to weep when he thought of how he tried to sever himself so completely from the Lord Jesus Christ. That was also with this Jesus of Galilee. Man, I know not what thou sayest. Then he had to weep over his denial that he had any connection, that he had anything to do with the Lord Jesus. That he even knew who the Lord Jesus was. Then he wept over the fact that he has taken up the cause of the wicked instead of the cause of that righteous one. Then he wept over the fact that he was selfish when the Lord Jesus, he was giving himself in such a selfless way for his church. When he thought thereon, he wept. He wept over the oath which he made. He wept over the lie of which he had spoken. Did you ever weep, congregation, over the lie that you had spoken? As you tried to deliver yourself out of that predicament that you had brought yourself into. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept over that person whom he had offended. That was a person who he loved so dearly. And when we will offend our enemy, then we come in the guilt. But when we offend one whom we love, then we weep bitterly. Thus Judas came in guilt with the silver hot in his hands. But Peter went out and wept bitterly. It was against God. It was against Christ, who was so dear unto his heart. And it is the Lord himself who has placed that love in that heart of Peter. He loved his person. He loved his presence. He loved his instruction. Even though he rebuked him. Do you love such instruction? And Peter cannot bear the fact that he has offended this one whom he loves so dearly. He even offended him with his fears. He offended him with his thoughts. He offended him with his words, with his lies, with his oaths, with his cursing, with his swearing. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Why? Because of sin. Congregation, did you ever weep bitterly because you had sinned against such a good-doing God? The Lord willing, after a few weeks and we are spared, then we hope to commemorate the Holy Supper of the Lord once again. And then it does not harm us when we will begin already to think about it. Congregation, then we ask you, have you ever wept one tear in your life because you had sinned against such a good-doing God? Why did Peter weep? Peter wept because he denied that he even knew him. There is often much confusion about this point when we think about the Lord's Supper. What does that mean? You hear that often, young people. Maybe that expression about denying the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of that Holy Supper. What does that actually mean? Who does that? We cannot deny a person that we do not know at all and that we do not love. If the Lord Jesus Christ has never been revealed to us in our life, and we cannot deny him, then we cannot say, then if we say, I do not know him, then we do not speak a lie. No, then we speak the truth. When we say, I do not know him, and that there is no love in my heart for that second person, that may very well be. Some say that they may not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they go to that Holy Supper because they perceive that there has been a change in their life. Because that I am no longer what I was before. That there has been a change. That it seems that the Lord, he is working within me. That I know what that means to be given a love, to be given a desire after that true and that holy God. I did not know that before. And now if I stay away from that Holy Supper of the Lord, then I am denying this. No, congregation, that is not true. No, what is it to deny the Lord Jesus in that Holy Supper? Then we must ask, or has the Lord Jesus Christ, as the way, as the truth, as the life, has he ever been revealed unto your soul? Has anything of him been shown unto you? Was there ever an opening by the Lord himself in the way of your impossibility? I'll give you a little example when we take a look at Ruth. And she has come to that border of the land of Israel. She makes a blessed confession. Thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Was that a woman in whom the Lord had begun? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Do you know the choice of Ruth? Now you may ask her, Ruth, was there a change in your life? Is there something different in your life? Then she must say yes. But now when we ask her another question, and that is the question that the Lord's Supper really goes over, then we may ask her, Ruth, do you know who Boaz is? Then what must she say? No. No. Does she have a longing to be one of the people of Israel? Does she have a desire after that God of Israel? Yes. But does she know anything about how that she can become one of the people of Israel? Nothing. That is yet to come. And therefore she does not deny Boaz when she says, no, I do not know him. She only tells the truth. But now when we go a little further with Ruth, and when Boaz has met her upon his vineyard, and when Boaz has spoken unto her, when Boaz has shown himself to her, when Boaz has invited her to his table, and when she is given that knowledge that it is Boaz, that he is that near kinsman. And now when we will say, Ruth, do you know who Boaz is? Or can she say, I am married to Boaz? No. But can she say she does not know him at all? She may not say that either. And now it is possible that she denies him, because she has seen him, because he has spoken unto her. And how is that with Peter? Did Peter know who the Lord Jesus was? Oh, Peter, he knew well who the Lord Jesus was. Does he know? Can he say, he is mine and I am his? Oh, Peter's knowledge of Christ, that was so small. He did not realize yet with all the disciples so much. He had to learn so much. And yet he could not deny that he knew him, but he did deny it. And that is now that sin that Peter is weeping about. He is weeping about that sin. When did that change come? From doing that sin, from committing that sin, to weeping over that sin. That is our second thought. The means. How is that? The means. What brought Peter to such tears? And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. That was not so much just the cock crowing. Congregation, did anything ever so small as the crowing of a cock bring you to tears? That is possible when the Lord shows us how unworthy that we are because of our sin. How unworthy that we are of the least of all the blessings of the Lord. Then it is possible that the smallest blessing will bring us to tears. But this is not what Peter is weeping about here. When Peter weeps at this cock crowing, that is for a different reason. This crowing that has brought Peter to remember something in the past. And what was it that caused, that he did remember? They were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were words of warning for Peter. It was a warning he thought he didn't need. He thought it was a warning that was too low for him. He was way above this. This was not possible for him to do. To deny the Lord Jesus Christ three times, impossible. Never. How is it, young people, with those things that your parents warn you about? Do you say the same thing? Oh, you don't have to say it, mother, father. I will never. But Peter said the same. And therefore, it was a warning that Peter never heeded. It was a warning that Peter never prayed against, that Peter did not watch against. But now it is a warning that is coming back in his mind. Now he remembers what that warning was. When? When it is too late. After it is done. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. The Lord is able, congregation, to use the smallest means to bring us to repentance. The Lord is able to use the smallest thing to break, to melt our heart. He just used that crowing of the cock, common thing. And immediately, Peter's heart that is broken. Yet it was not actually that crowing of the cock in itself. That was not the thing that broke that heart of Peter. How do we know that? Because we read that Peter, after the first time that he denied the Lord Jesus, Mark says that he rises up and he went out into the porch. Peter began to feel a little uncomfortable. He goes a little distance away, not so close. And then we read, and the cock crew. Did Peter hear it? No doubt it came to his ears just as it came to everyone else's ears. Did he weep then? No. He did not weep. Why not? Because there is nothing that can break the heart of a man but the Spirit of the Lord. We can read, congregation, of the revivals years ago in Northampton, in Massachusetts. How did they begin? Because they are revivals of which, indeed, we may hope that there was something there of the work of the Lord. How did they begin? Did they begin when they got a new minister? Did they begin when the minister changed his preaching? Did they begin when and they did something different in the congregation, when they brought in things that were more interesting to the people? No. Many times over, they have heard the same minister. Many times over, they have heard the same preaching, the same manner of preaching. And all of a sudden, it began to have a different effect. All of a sudden, there was a certain quietness in the congregation. All of a sudden, there was a certain inner sorrow and inner weeping. All of a sudden, there was a certain impression. Why? That was not because of that minister. How many times, congregation, have you heard the Word of God preached? And how many times have we heard the Word of God preached to no effect? And the warnings, they come to us, and the cock is crowing day after day, and there is nothing. Do you think it can be different? Do you think it can become different? How? Maybe you need a different minister. Maybe that the minister, he needs to preach different. Maybe he has to be more evangelistic. Is that what we need? No. That is not what we need. There was no difference between that first cock crowing and that second cock crowing. Nothing except the work of the Lord. The foolishness of preaching that is ever going to remain the foolishness of preaching. But when the Lord is going to be pleased to come in with that preaching, then you will weep bitterly. When Elisha stood on a mountain, then the Lord was not in the earthquake, and he was not in the wind, and he was not in the fire. But the Lord came in that still, small voice. Oh, do you understand why? That it is so, so important that you bend your knees before you come to the house of God. That is not just that the Lord help us, but that the Lord comes, that the Lord visits us with His Holy Spirit. And that the Lord would be the mover of the weeping of your soul. Let us sing first. Psalter 143, 1, 2, and 4. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. O wash me holy from my guilt, and make me clean within. For my transgressions I confess, I ever see my sin. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 143. Thank you. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. There is, congregation, nothing in this life that is able to bring a man in itself to true, upright tears. Did you ever feel that? Are there people also in this morning and that are jealous of this man that he may weep? That you say, if only I could break that heart and that stony heart that lives within me, that I may also weep in those true upright tears as a Peter wept. What do you think, boys and girls, young people, what do you think will bring a person to true conversion? I tell you what I thought in my life when I was your age, when I was young. Then I thought a terrible accident, that would do it. That would stop me. That would convert me. And when it happened, then it proved that it was unable. There is nothing in this whole world that is able to move a man to true, upright tears. But what do we read here? We read, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. When the Lord turns, when the Lord will look upon us, in that moment it will become different in our life. Salvation that is that one-sided sovereign work of God. It is God Himself who is the moving cause of these tears of Peter. But what does the Lord connect this to? Because we see these two things here. We see the moving cause, the Lord Jesus turning to look upon Peter. And then we also read of the means. At the same time, then we read that that cock is crowing for the second time. And it was these two things together. Not because the Lord needed the means, but because it pleases the Lord also to use the means to break down His people. And thus, those at the pool of Bethesda, they stayed there at the means, and they besought, and they were asking, they were waiting for what? They were waiting for that moving of the waters, the Spirit of the Lord to come. Therefore, under the means, that is always our place. And there to beg and to actively beseech the Lord that He will come and that He will use those means, that He will look upon us in those means, and that He will break our heart. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That was that look as the mover of the heart of Peter that broke that heart. What kind of look was it? That was not a look of anger. That was not a look of revenge. But that was a look of love. The Lord Jesus may look in that moment at His sinning child. There are parents who know what it is to look upon a sinning child. Are there also sinning children who know what it is to weep bitterly because of the grief of their father and their mother, which they have caused. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and now Peter goes out. Now Peter cannot stay there. He cannot stay there one more moment. There is no more desire in the heart of Peter to be in this place where he did not belong. And Peter goes out with grief. And to weep out his heart in secret, that is where it is mostly done. Did you ever weep out your heart in secret places before the Lord? Oh, Peter goes out. Now Peter understands something. Now Peter understands that he will not be a help to the Lord Jesus in his suffering. No, just the opposite. He will be only a hindrance. Now he sees that he can only go in the wrong way. We don't read any more about Peter until after that the Lord Jesus rises again from the dead. When the Lord Jesus goes to suffer all by himself for the sin of his church, and Peter is also busy. He is busy weeping, bitterly weeping over his own sin. What a holy loathing is now living in his heart. What an earnest longing. What a need, what a desire for mercy. What a humble, what a penitent, what an unworthy supplicant was found at the throne of grace in those days. My transgressions I confess. Grief and guilt my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just, speechless. I thy mercy trust. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The moving cause, congregation, did the Lord ever look upon you? You say, how do I know that? By the fruits. What happened to Peter when the Lord looked upon him? He began to weep. Congregation, how many people do not begin to weep when it is too late? That begin to weep when this time of grace is forever, forever past. What a most bitter weeping that shall be. Because it will be a despair, an utter despair. Oh, for Peter there is yet hope. For Peter there is yet a place that he may go. But when we begin our weeping, and we shall all weep, every one of us, we shall weep. We shall begin to weep here, or we shall begin to weep later. When shall you begin to weep? And when we begin to weep, all the warnings that we have received in our life, they will come back to us. Oh, if we begin to weep too late, then it shall be forever and forever to gnash our teeth because we had never heeded those warnings of the Lord. There was congregation progression in that sin of Peter. It did not happen in one moment. Come slowly. Come slowly. First he is accused by the maid. Woman, I do not know him. Later on, we hear someone saying, but I hear your speech. And later on, then they say, but you were seen. There are even eyewitnesses. I saw you there in the garden. And then Peter's sin that is progressing step by step. He denies it with an oath. And finally, he begins to curse and to swear. What does that mean? He says, let the Lord punish me if I'm lying. Is that not an awful thing? Probably, young people, probably that cursing and that swearing was something that Peter had done in his young life. That as a youth, he was used to doing, and in one moment that he falls back into this again. Oh, be careful. Because sin, that is such a slippery slope. But now at the same time that Christ is meriting for his church their eternal salvation, at the same time he is taking care also of the application. Oh, as the Lord Jesus stood there, as he stood there being mocked, as he stood there being buffeted by the enemy, he just took one moment yet. He just took one moment yet to turn and to look upon Peter. Oh, what a great mercy if the Lord looks upon us while we are still in this life. Then we become congregation, a sinner before God. And then we begin to weep. We begin to weep bitterly. And yet, it is not a weeping of despair. It will be a bitter weeping. It will be a bitter weeping because we do not sin cheap. And when we love the Lord, then we will weep bitterly. But it is not a weeping of despair. Why not? Because there is nothing so good as to turn unto the Lord. There is nothing so good as to repent. There is nothing so good as to turn away from our evil and to turn unto God, though it be with bitter weeping. Because in a congregation there is hope. There is a hoping against hope as long as it is not yet too late. And those who begin to sorrow here, they shall not sorrow eternally. No weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And therefore the Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that weep now, because they shall laugh. Oh, how exalted shall be that blessed, free, and sovereign grace of God. Is it not a wonder that there was forgiveness
for Peter,
who after received grace, cursed and swore, oh, is that not hope? Is that not comfort? Is there then not expectation? For the most wretched and for the most vile, sinful of God's own people on this earth. And are that people not going to experience in this life that where sin abounded, their grace did much more abound? And is that not going to be to the great honor and the glory of that most high God who has given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, teach us to weep. For the first time, teach us to weep by renewal. Lord, thou can break our heart with one word. Oh, thou can break our heart with the crowing of the cock. Oh, do it, Lord. We don't deserve it, but oh, do it, that we would not continue in our wretched ways, but that we may be brought to that place of thy servant, to weep bitterly and to receive of thee what he received of thee, to be so completely forgiven, washed and cleansed, and reunited into that blessed favor of thee. Oh, look upon us. Remember us in the remainder of this day. Wilt thou help us also in the other part of this, our congregation, in the bringing of thy word in this afternoon and evening. Remember him. And thou must take the active part here also. Oh, bring thy blessing with thy spirit unto us. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 77, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. O Lord, by thee delivered, I thee with songs extol. My foes thou hast not suffered to glory or my fall. O Lord, my God, I sought thee, and thou didst heal and save. Thou, Lord, from death didst ransom and keep me from the grave. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 77. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.